Earlier this past week, I was reading through a preaching journal. Now, that might not sound like thrilling reading to you, I don't know. But it's got interesting articles, articles like How to Finish by 11:59 a.m. every Sunday morning. Another article, What is the Exact Right Temperature in the Sanctuary so that everyone will be comfortable? How to Wake Up a Fallen a parishioner Who's Fallen Asleep Without Calling Them by Name. You know, things like that, things that are important for preachers to know. Well, I was reading through these interesting articles, and I came across a question that stopped me in my tracks. The question was fairly simple, but here was the question. If you could only preach one sermon for the rest of your life, what would be the subject or topic of that sermon? Now, that's a great question. I've been preaching most every Sundays for the last 3 years, since November of 2014, when I started as your interim pastor. And so you know by now that I like to preach through themes or topics. And we've talked about several of them lately. We did the Ten Commandments and Proverbs and Abundant Life. And we look at these series. So the question stood out to me. Well, if I could only talk about one subject, one theme, what would that subject or that theme be? Well, after much deliberation this week, I came to the conclusion that the subject of choice for me would be the same subject as our sermon for this morning. Now, I'm not saying that this sermon would be the one I would preach every single Sunday, but I am saying that the subject, the topic for this sermon, would be the same subject and topic. And why is that? It's because it is the subject of grace. There are so many texts that focus on grace and its application in our lives for today. As you know, we did an entire series on grace back last spring. And you know, one of my favorite verses about grace is Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15, that says, "See to it that no one misses God's grace." I believe that is a missional statement for the church. But our text for this morning in Paul's second letter to the Christians in Corinth also has some powerful insights for us about the subject and topic of grace. Paul says this, "For you know that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, for he was rich, and yet for our sakes he became poor, so that we in turn might become rich." It's a beautiful description of what God's grace is in our lives. In this single verse, Paul has an incredible description of God's grace for us. Now, in the original context in which Paul was writing, in this second letter he was writing to the church in Corinth, what he was writing about was something very important to him. He was encouraging the Christians in Corinth to take up an offering and for them to be very generous in their offering, to give money to the church in Jerusalem. That was the context why he was writing. Now, the church in Jerusalem was struggling. The church in Corinth was prospering. And so Paul says to the church in Corinth in this letter, "I'm encouraging you to be generous in your giving." And he says, "Listen, don't forget, everything you have is because of the grace of God through Jesus Christ. Don't forget about the grace. You know the grace. That is why you are who you are." Now, the Christians in Corinth, they were living in a very magnificent, impressive city of their day and age. Corinth was right on a major trade route, so business was booming. Consumerism was growing, and the Christians in Corinth had everything they needed. They had plenty. In fact, we could describe them as comfortable Christians. But that comfortableness seems to have affected their faith. Paul writes to them to remind them that nothing is more important in their lives than God's grace. He says, it is, Paul saying to them, don't get so comfortable in your faith that you forget about grace. In other words, when things are going well, don't get so comfortable that you forget that it is God's grace that has given you everything you have. That one simple verse penned by Paul more than 2,000 years ago challenges the Corinthian Christians as well as us today not to forget God's grace. Remember the grace. Well, how would we say that? And why do we say that this morning? There are a couple of things we should point out here. First, This verse calls us to remember that God's grace is amazing. We sang about it earlier, that beloved hymn, but God's grace is amazing. And that's why Paul does not want us to forget about it. Listen, he says, in these simple words, we're encouraged to remember that the Almighty God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the ruler of this entire universe, actually came to earth in the form of a human being for one purpose and one purpose only, and that is to save us from being eternally separated from God. Now that is amazing. We hear that message so often, and we know that message, and we are all too familiar with that message that we sometimes forget how amazing that truth actually is. Pause to think about that. Let that sink in. The God of this universe, the creator of everything that we see, came to earth in the form of a human being, in flesh and blood and bones, Jesus Christ. Why? To save you. Make that personal. To redeem you. To claim you as his own. To keep you from being eternally separated from God. That was his sole purpose and reason for coming to earth in the form of Jesus Christ. God did not send an angel. God did not send an ambassador. God did not send an emissary. No, God came in the flesh to be with us and to save us. Now see, we know that, and we have heard it so much that we sometimes forget just how incredible that act of salvation really is in our lives. When you stop to consider what God has done for you, I ask you, could there be anything more amazing in this entire universe that God himself would come to save you from being eternally separated from him? Paul reminds us that God, through Jesus, was rich, yet became poor for our sakes. In other words, Jesus voluntarily gave up the riches of heaven and the luxuries of being in God's presence to come to earth in poverty and in scarcity. Jesus emptied himself from being in the presence of God to become a person in order to identify with us and our every need. It is simply amazing what God's grace has done for us. Perhaps nowhere is that grace more clearly defined, and is it more beautifully sung than in the hymn we sang earlier, Amazing Grace, words that were penned by John Newton. Many of you know these words are not only powerful, meaningful words for our lives today, but for John Newton, they were also autobiographical. For much of his life, John Newton was a lost soul. He was the captain of a ship that brought slaves from Africa to London, England, so that they could be sold on the auction block there in London. And during many of these years, Newton seemed to have no conscience about his task. He seemed to carry no burden about the concern or the evil of the trade that he was a part of. He didn't even seem to care about the deplorable conditions of the slaves aboard his ship. But then something happened. On one of his journeys off the coast of Africa, while he was en route to England with his cargo, Newton's ship ran into a storm. And the storm became so severe that Newton lost almost everything, including his own life. Out of this experience, there came this strange turning, as Newton describes it, in his life. Out of this crisis experience, John Newton heard the voice and the call of God, and he decided to give up the slave trade, to educate himself, and he was soon ordained to Christian ministry. Now, his story of conversion, his drastically changed life, has become one of the most beloved hymns we ever sing. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. Many years ago, I remember seeing a fellow wearing a t-shirt. As he was walking toward me, it had words on the t-shirt. And as he got closer, I read the t-shirt and saw that it said, "I am the wretch the song is singing about," right? Isn't that true for all of us? We are the wretch that the song is about. Couldn't every single one of us wear that t-shirt? "I once was lost, but now I'm found," "was blind, but now I see." God's grace is simply amazing. And Paul says to us, don't forget about it, because it is this amazing grace that is transformative in your life, and it is the reason you have all the blessings you have in your life today. Do not forget God's grace. Remember the grace, Paul says. But there's something else here also. This one verse calls us to remember, not only is God's grace amazing, but it is also free. We heard it earlier in the prayer that Jessica prayed for us. We are called to remember that God's grace is freely given to us. Now, when biblical scholars from earlier times wrote about grace being free, they did not mean that grace doesn't cost anything. Grace is expensive. Grace is costly. Grace cost God his only son. Grace cost Jesus Christ the agony and the pain and the suffering and humiliation of the cross. Grace is very costly. But when we say grace is free, what we mean is it simply cannot be earned. There is nothing we can do on our part to merit or earn or to gain this grace. God's grace is not for sale. We can't do anything ourselves to get it. In other words, God's grace is a gift God chooses to freely give to us. God has paid the price for it. We do nothing to merit or earn that grace. We simply receive this costly gift from the giver. I want you to imagine with me being invited to a glamorous banquet for those who are very rich and those who are very famous, and somehow you get to be invited and you get to come and you get to go, and everyone is dressed extravagantly and the meal is elegant beyond imagination. It's a wonderful, incredible experience, lavish and luxurious. Well, when the end of the evening comes, the host stands at the door as the guests are exiting to make their way home, and you are in line and you're getting closer and closer to make your way to the host. What do you do? What do you say? How do you respond to this host who has been so generous to give you this incredible experience? Would you walk out that door and look at the host and offer a dime, 10 cents, saying to the host, "Thank you for this wonderful evening. I know it was very expensive for you, so I wanted to do something to help. So here, take this dime as my contribution to this incredible evening." No one would ever do that. Such an act would be an insult. It would be rude to someone who has spent tens of thousands of dollars for us to offer such a meager amount. But isn't that what we do when we try ourselves to save ourselves, to earn God's favor, to merit salvation, a gift God has lavishly given to us? We cannot earn it. We cannot share in the cost of God's grace. It is so far beyond us, it simply would be impossible. What we are called to do instead is simply to receive what God wants to give to us and remember that that grace comes from God, and it is a gift in our lives. Sam King has written, "Grace is a happening, not an achievement." I love that. Grace is a happening, not an achievement. Grace is a gift. It is not a reward that you have somehow earned. He says grace is free, and that is a gift from God. It is free in that it is out of our control. We can't manipulate it. We can't comprehend it. All we can do is to receive it and to remember that it is a gift from God. That is why we gather around this table. The poet says, "Do this and live, the law demands, but gives me neither feet nor hands. A better word God's grace does bring. It bids me to fly and gives me wings. This morning, here's what we remember. It is the grace of God that forgives your sin. It is the grace of God that saves you from your own self-imposed destruction. It is the grace of God that offers you abundant life each and every day to live a life that has meaning and purpose. It is the grace of God that one day will cleanse you from all of your sins and allow you to go to heaven to live with God forever. As Paul says to us, you know this grace. Remember the grace. And this morning, as we gather around the Lord's table, I invite you to not only remember, but to receive and experience the grace of God. This is your time. This is your opportunity to commune with the God of the universe who loves you more than you can ever possibly imagine. So this morning, remember the grace and receive God's presence. Would you join me as we pray? Good and gracious God, this morning we are grateful for your word that reminds us of what a wonderful blessing grace is. Lord, as we gather around your table this morning, help us not only to remember your grace, but also to receive it. For we make this our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.